Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, this is Mary Lurson, Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, and welcome to this episode of Talking Up Music Education, a podcast about music education, celebrating teachers, students, and the life of wonderful people in music. And I am here at Summer NAMM here in Nashville with a member of the musical royalty, Crystal Gale. Welcome to Talking at Music Education.
Well, thank you. It's great to be with you.
It's really amazing to be sitting with you in this humble table, but it's with someone who's had such a remarkable career. So thank you. And thank you most of all for something that just has landed in the press today, a wonderful article that you're talking about, the importance of music education, which is what we're all about. Why have you stepped forward and talked about its value for all children?
We need music in the schools because, to me, music heals. So I think no matter if it's when you first start out in kindergarten, I remember, you know, singing in kindergarten, singing everything. And every grade, we had something that I just look in my mind and I see it. It was there. Of course, going back to Kentucky, where I was born, we lived in the holler and music was a part of our life. It wasn't something that we didn't take it for granted. It was just people would sit on the porch and sing and play and carry on. And we just went on to Indiana, where I grew up. When I was four, we moved there, and we took what was in the on the front porch to the living room, so we didn't, scare our neighbors. But music with my mother was a singer. She'd sing with her twin sister. My father played guitar. It was just everybody in the family, so it was all around me, and so I was just elated when I found music in the schools.
And that was in Wabash, Indiana, right?
Wabash, Indiana. I mean, I was in all the choirs. I was in swing groups. But we had really, really good teachers. And they loved what they did. Mm-hmm. They weren't there just for a paycheck, which, you know, I think, and I say that because you can feel it with a teacher. You know that they love what they're doing. And Mr. Steiner in high school, my music teacher, I mean, he loved it. Mm-hmm. And everybody that was in our choir, our swing groups, he worked with them. I mean, he loved it. He would take them aside and help if they needed help. He nurtured me.
You know, it's so empowering for us to hear the story of the remarkable Crystal Gale going to high school choir practice. You know, I mean, you know, because we learn about this career, we recognize this career and celebrate all that you've given us musically. And then to realize that you were kind of like almost every other kid, not quite, but you were, you know, you were in the flow of a regular normal public school. And there was this music education opportunity, which is ultimately what we're working for. So no matter who the child is, where they are, if they come from a musically rich family or they just have a chance to dabble, that they're going to become a different person if they have a music education.
Definitely music, any arts should be in the schools. And I think I really thought when I went to school and graduated from Wabash High School, that was the norm for every school. And it wasn't. I mean, when I started, I had children and they started school and the public schools, it was like, wow, you know, it was totally different from when I went to school and we have to work at it. But I think we need to keep music everywhere. I mean, it helps the child. It helps develop. I mean, it helped me.
I think so. And I think you helped it, right? I mean, you gave back wonderful things to our culture through your music, certainly. Our work through the NAMP Foundation is working with communities all across the country to make sure music education is supported. I have to tell you, there's some really remarkable things happening in Indiana. I'm going to go back and check on what's happening in your hometown. I'll report back to you somehow about that, because we know that communities that are supporting music education need to be celebrated, and they need to be recognized, and they need to be held up as examples for other communities. So throughout Indiana, they've actually created a new Indiana Arts Network. They're working with the state legislature. They're working with the governor's office. They're taking the message to the halls of the state capitol, and they're making sure that every child in Indiana, they want Indiana to have the best music education in the nation.
Oh, I think that's great.
So
I'm glad that's going on.
I want to keep you posted about that.
I know when I was back in Wabash a couple years ago, that Gary Chapman, who was a great artist, great writer, songwriter, he was there actually going to different schools and doing songwriting classes. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's just so wonderful. And that was, I think, with the Honeywell Foundation, was bringing that into the community around Wabash.
So all these forces are coming together, and Indiana is not only Indiana, but several many other states too. But it does take concerned people. We have to just be in there pushing.
It's concerned people that care for their community, care for the children, want to see them do the best they can. And having music not just in the schools, but as you said, in the community, in all the arts, outdoor festivals, and but having the kids come to sing. I mean, we would sing in the swing groups that I was in. We would go and do all the social clubs or anywhere we could. We just had fun. And so it was, we were taking the school and the arts out of the school, but to bring it to the community. Mm,
that's so wonderful. So I loved reading your pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of your bio. I mean, you know, 20 chart-topping number one records, right? Numerous awards, you know, so many to mention. One thing I didn't know is that you were in a soap opera. You want to tell us about that little artistic journey you took through Another World, right?
Yes. Gary Morris and I recorded a song called Another World. And it was the theme song for the soap opera. And I got to appear on the soap opera for a whole week. And that was getting up like 4 o'clock every morning, getting on that set.
And you played yourself.
I played myself. Yes,
and
I
there
was being stalked
just
on this.
Just, oh, yeah, you some, were
yes,
being
someone
stalked.
Someone was trying to get me.
By a serial killer.
Yes, by a serial killer.
And how did that turn out?
Well, I'm still here now.
But you weren't on the show after a week, so that's...
Well,
that
it could have went both ways.
Right, it made me a little nervous. But that theme song kind of was a gift that kept on giving for a good while.
Yes,
right?
It was. It was a great song, and I loved being able to sing with Gary Morris, and he's such a fantastic singer.
Yeah, I just it was the thing that surprised me that you actually had a stint on a soap opera. Not every chart-topping singer gets to make that claim.
I know, I got to break a vase over someone's head.
Oh, and, you
know,
even
so that
better.
That was great.
Real stagecraft, right?
I know, I'm running, and then I stop at a phone booth to try to call, you know, 911, and I'm thinking, I wouldn't have stopped.
And who knows?
I'd have been out of that building in 2 seconds.
And who knows what a phone booth is?
I know. And I was like, come on now.
It's a phone booth. Oh, that's really great. You've had such a wonderful career, and you're still very active. You're producing an album now, is that correct?
It's a classic country album. That's basically finished and getting ready to be released.
Does the album have a name for marketing purposes yet?
It's called You Don't Know Me, Country Classics.
Okay.
You know,
about coming out when?
This fall, definitely.
This fall?
Yes. And
all right. We'll watch for it.
Well, thank you.
Get a little boost along the way. Yeah.
I've been in the studio with my son, Chris, mm-hmm. who graduated from Belmont University in music business, music engineering, and all the other music programs. That's a great school.
Oh, yes. I was just on that campus last night for the Tennessee Arts Academy event.
Great.
So it was very exciting mm-hmm. to be with the Lieutenant Governor. Mm-hmm. Again, we're working with this state of Tennessee to make sure that they have an army of advocates.
Yes.
And keep it powerful.
And we
strong,
should,
right?
Definitely,
right.
In Tennessee, especially.
Yes. So this leads to my question. First of all, speaking of your son, Chris, a lot of our work with the NAMP Foundation is with college music students and their faculty, and they many up to 2,000 of them come to the NAMM show looking at careers in music, not only performing, but teaching and production and sound and opera audio. And now working with your son now in the contemporary period right now, how has it changed? How is this? And you've had a lot of record labels, right? You've had a lot of
yes.
You have a lot of industry depth. And would you like to reflect on that in terms of
definitely the industry, the music industry here in Nashville has changed so much, and it's bigger, definitely bigger. And, you know, it's always changed through the years. So I'm not complaining about it. You know, Nashville used to be a smaller community, which I miss those days where I could actually drive down the road.
Yes.
Now it's like,
you got to plan.
You got to plan that route you're going to take. It is different, but I think it's attracting more people to music. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy for that.
And the business of music? As an entrepreneur, as someone who's, you know, an artist, solo artist, is it now that you can control the product stream differently or better than when it was all the record label attachments? I mean, that's a major shift, right?
It's definitely a major shift to you can have your own record out on your own label, the iTunes, I mean, just YouTube, anything. And there's been a lot of people that have made it with that. So now that it's opened the doors, you might not have all the big record companies. They're there, but they're probably not as important mm-hmm. as they used to be. You know, I look at people coming in. Like I said, just sing, be in music, no matter what. And who knows when that break will come.
Mm-hmm. Just sing with passion.
Yeah, sing with passion.
Or work with passion, and compose with passion, arrange with
passion.
Yeah,
and, you know.
Play your instrument with passion.
Turn those knobs with passion.
Right, gig with passion.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Do you spend a lot of time out performing? Is that part of the schedule as well?
If we do 30 to 50 dates a year, that's plenty.
The ones that you select.
I used to do so many. Yeah. Stay on the road a lot. But, you know, the less you do, you sometimes think, okay, maybe it's time to stay home.
And wasn't there a famous story in there about someone, a tour bus getting?
Oh.
I did dig deep. I had fun reading about something, right?
We had just gotten off the road and parked our bus at Prevost, the bus company, and we were flying. So we took most of our instruments off the bus, which we were lucky because our bus was stolen. And anything that was not nailed down was sold along the way. You know, it was different.
It would be a good theme for a country song, don't you think?
I think so. I think there might have been somebody write something.
Someone needs to work on that. Yeah. Well, we're so delighted that you're here with us in Nashville. We are celebrating you today with the American Eagle Awards for the National Music Council. NAMM's been involved with that organization. I know this is a long list of many awards, but what does it mean when your colleagues come together to celebrate you?
This is a very special award, getting the American Eagle Award. And I think it's because it's not just a country music award show. And it takes in a lot of aspects of the music. Mm-hmm. And being with Patti Smith and Harry Shearer, that is just exceptional company.
Yeah, we are.
So I'm excited.
Big exceptional company for us, I want to tell you, that you're all here. And that we've had this time with you to talk about the value of all that you've given to our culture. Really, we thank you and we honor you here. You honor us by the way you're supporting music education. Your voice truly matters to all of us that are working in music education. When you say music education is important, then we go back and work harder at it. Because know that it may make something to you. Any final thoughts you'd like to leave us
with?
You
know, music has been wonderful for me. You know, even though I support music and I support it in schools, but it supported me. In my early years, it gave back to me, and the school system gave back to me. They were there for me as a child, and we have to be there for our children now.
Beautiful. We're going to give you some reports on Wabash, Indiana, so you know what's going on there. Make sure that they know that you care about what's going on there. We'll make sure that's communicated as well. So again, I thank Crystal Gale for being with us here at NAMM, Summer NAMM, part of the American Eagle Awards happening later this afternoon with the National Music Council. And thank you all for joining me on this edition of Talking Up Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation. Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.